Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Spring is a time of warmer weather, birds singing once more, and flowers pushing up tiny green shoots as the sunshine wakes up our world. It is also a time when people complain about the crater-sized potholes that nearly break an axle. It is also the start of road construction season with its delays and detours. On today's show, Denise Marshall, Director of Public Works for Northumberland County, is going to talk about fixing potholes. She will also discuss the upcoming construction. This includes places near you like Welcome, Brighton, Trent Hills, and Grafton. Then, there are upcoming projects in the planning stages, such as those in Coburg's East End, Roseneath and Fenella, Castleton and Hastings. Have a listen and see if your road is mentioned or there is construction going on near you this summer. I'm so pleased to have with me today Denise Marshall, Director of Public Works for Northumberland County. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
The condition of roads is a favorite topic of conversation, especially this time of year. As the snow melts, the potholes become apparent. Let's begin our conversation there before we begin to talk about the big projects. Can you describe the system the county uses to find and repair potholes on its roads across Northumberland?
Sure. It's definitely spring season is pothole season across the board. We've had a particularly challenging winter, which has led to some of those conditions on our roadway this time of year. But this is something that our road operations crew, we actively patrol all of our roadways. And through patrolling, we identify locations where there are potholes or any other deficiencies that need to be addressed. And that is assigned to our road operations staff who then go out and fill those potholes as sort of expediently as they can. And we work through that process again. This time of year is obviously the most busy, but that occurs throughout the entire spring, summer, and fall season as well, since they can reoccur.
Do you have any idea whether this year is particularly worse than previous years?
We have certain areas that are more challenging, and obviously potholes, they occur on some of our roads that are maybe in more fair to poor condition compared to our roads that have been more recently rehabilitated. So obviously there are some areas where we've actually got some current construction happening where there is significantly more potholes than previous years, but typically it just often depends on, again, the condition of the roadway to begin with. But yes, I think in general, being a tough winter and with that transition to spring, I would say this year is probably one of the ones where we have a few more, but really at the end of the day, it comes down to the condition of the roadway.
Now, if somebody is listening in and they have a pothole on their road or they're concerned about a particular section of road, can they call in and say, hey, my road is worse than ever, or I've got a big pothole in front of my house?
Yes, they can reach out to we have a transportation email that they can email, or also through the transportation sort of hotline that they can call in and talk to someone or leave a message if it's after hours. And that gets, we create a work order for our road operations crew to go out and address any issue that's brought to our attention.
According to the Northumberland County dashboard, in 2025, less than half of the roads in Northumberland County met provincial standards set by the Ontario Good Roads Association. I think the number is like 43%. That does not sound like a good score. Can you explain why this is the case?
Mm-hmm. So that score is based, these are pavement condition index surveys that we do, so PCIs. And ultimately, that's a way for us to review and assess the condition of all of our roadways. And that really gets tied into our asset management plan and helps us in our decision-making process for how we maintain our roads and at what time we do different types of maintenance. Any operations, as well as any renewal and full reconstruction. So it's just an overall evaluation of the condition of our roadways. Our target that we have set is a 70% condition, which is a adequate condition. So we are falling below sort of what that target is.
What can be done to go from 43% then up to the target you've set at 70?
Really, it's following our asset management plan and implementing that year over year. We look to, again, do all of the required preventative maintenance that we can, which really helps to extend the life of a roadway. It helps, that's things like our crack sealing and our microsurfacing, which fills any of those cracks in the roadway, preventing water from getting into the base and deteriorating the road. So making sure that we're doing that type of work, making sure that we are doing any of our renewal work. So this is our road resurfacing, our surface treatment work, and doing this all at the correct time in the life cycle of the asset to really be the most cost effective. But at the end of the day, again, it's challenging in order to do all of the work that we need to do within the budgets that we have.
What needs to change that might improve that situation?
There's a few things. Obviously, we are always looking to find additional funding so that we can complete all of the works that are identified in our asset management plan. So whether this be looking to apply for federal and provincial funding opportunities that are available, and also again just as part of our annual review of the capital budget for council approval, we also look to be innovative where possible and try to find most cost-effective methods and different approaches that can extend the life of our assets, but again, have some cost savings associated with that.
Well, on that note, let's talk about some of the major infrastructure projects for this year. I'd like to begin with the Welcome intersection in Port Hope. There's going to be a complete upgrade to the intersection of County Road 2, County Road 10, and County Road 74. I understand that this was started in 2025. Can you bring us up to speed on what's going on now?
Yes, you're correct. So this work started in 2025. The majority of works were completed in 2025. It's upgrades of the intersection itself, road rehabilitation. It involves some enhancements to traffic safety and the flow through the intersection, as well as some improvements from a pedestrian and cycling perspective. In 2026, they will be they're mobilizing to site now and be starting in the next week or two. And what remains is doing that top layer of asphalt. Again, any of the line painting, there's some street lights to go up. So just some last finishing work that will be for these first couple of months of the spring and summer, and that project will be complete.
This intersection has a history of being rather an awkward combination of roads with the major County Road 2 and then the lesser traveled other roads, making it harder to cross for both drivers and pedestrians. What has been done to address these kinds of concerns?
It is a very challenging intersection, and we have reviewed prior to construction different design options on how to address this confusing intersection really for all road users. And some of the challenges are the skew intersection. It doesn't come in, the roads don't come in perpendicular to each other. We also have fairly steep grades as you approach the intersection from the west, which makes it challenging to add a stop. An all-way stop when you have those steep grades. So one of the approach really was looking at how we could try to define the intersection better so that drivers had a clear understanding of their lanes and how the turning movements would would occur. Also trying to make sure that we had improved signage, having flashing signals and pedestrian crossings at specific locations. And again, just overall enhancements to the condition of the roadway, which will help as well.
It's interesting to think that pedestrians actually use this intersection. I can see it easily being associated with a lot of transportation, but pedestrians, not so much. What were the challenges in meeting the needs of the residents?
It is always a balance in trying to design roads that accommodate all road users, especially when we're in sort of our rural hamlets and we have the needs of all different types of vehicles, pedestrians and cyclists. And so the design really incorporated the pedestrian crossovers in order to make sure that there were flashing signals, which really helped to signal to drivers to make it easier for pedestrians to be seen and to have that ability to cross the road. Again, when we have hamlets, we do want to recognize that there are people living there that do want to walk. And we want to make sure that we provide some facilities that are safe for those residents.
Next is the reconstruction of County Road 64, which is an extension of Prince Edward Street in Brighton, going all the way to Carrying Place in the Quinte region. You are going to do a stretch from Harbour Street east to Elizabeth. What are you going to be doing there?
Yes, this is one of our multi-year projects and one of our large sort of reconstruction projects that we are doing jointly with the municipality of Brighton. And so it is more than just a resurfacing. This is a full reconstruction project that's been completed in phases. The first phase was the rural section, which was more of our standard repaving, pulverize and pave and make sure we have our paved shoulders. And last year and continuing into this year, we're really focused on the urban section of County Road 64. And this work involves underground infrastructure, so water main, sanitary and storm sewer replacement, as well as the pavement rehabilitation, accommodating cycling lanes, sidewalk work, pedestrian crossovers. So there is considerable amount of work that is being done here, again, from a renewal perspective of the roadway, but also looking at those safety enhancements and improvements.
Would it be fair to say that this is a major upgrade to what's existing there right now?
Yes, it is.
In that case, then, how do you do things? For example, I understand there's going to be traffic calming. You mentioned cycling. Being able to cross a road, which again is a very busy county road, moving a lot of traffic. How are you trying to deal with those kinds of things?
Right. So again, through the design process, we really understood what the challenges were and what the needs were that needed to be met. What was driving the project initially was, again, aging infrastructure that needed to be replaced. And when we're doing that work, then we also look at what are the other needs. And that's where traffic safety, which incorporating the traffic calming features, looking at pedestrian safety, looking at cycling safety. This is one of the connecting links from our cycling master plan along this roadway. So we want to make sure that there's accommodations for that. So that's all taken into consideration during the planning stage. And we did have public information centers to gather information from the residents to get feedback and understand sort of what the current conditions are and challenges and what the residents were looking for. And that's what was incorporated into the final design.
For listeners who may not understand, what is traffic calming?
So traffic calming is implementing various different methods and approaches to try to slow vehicles down and to try to make a safer environment. It can be things as simple as just narrowing the lanes with pavement markings. It could be adding in temporary bollards. In this case, it could be, again, where you move the curb around, so curb returns. The intention is really to try to create an environment where drivers want to slow down and feel they need to slow down in order to drive through safely.
The next one is the Trent River Bridge Rehabilitation. And I understand that this is a very significant project. This bridge has undergone a lot in recent history. Can you start by providing a background on the work that's been done in the past few years?
So just to clarify, so there are a few Trent River bridges. And so the one that we are doing rehabilitation on this year is on County Road 30, north of Campbellford, just south of County Road 42, just south of the boundary of the county. And so this is, again, a very large structure that requires rehabilitation. So that work would be happening this summer. And so, again, at this point, we're just getting ready to go out for tender. We anticipate either full closure or partial closures with detours. So there'll be more information that will be provided to the public once it's been confirmed on, you know, what that approach is during construction. But it is a significant amount of rehabilitation that is going to be required.
There's one bridge that sort of goes between the downtown main commercial area and another commercial area. Is this the bridge that we're talking about, or is it a different bridge? Just for people who may not be familiar with the county roads as you are.
Absolutely. So that is a different bridge. So as I said, that's the existing crossing in Campbellford, the existing Trent River Bridge in Campbellford, is the one that you just mentioned. The one that's being rehabbed this year, again, is on County Road 30 north of Campbellford. It's another structure.
There's also a proposal for a new bridge. Can you just briefly bring us up to speed on that bridge as well?
Yes. So there's been an ongoing long-term project for the new Trent River crossing in Campbellford, which would be just south of the existing bridge that is in the downtown area. This one, we are just at the 90% design stage for the project. We've completed, again, the environmental assessment and been working through detailed design. We're at the stage where we're finalizing the design for the project. We're incorporating changes from a peer review that was completed. We're starting to prepare procurement documents and continuing to work with the external agencies on all of the required approvals. So that's working with Parks Canada and the Conservation Authority and DFO and Transport Canada, so many agencies that we need to work with in order to get our approvals and permits. And we are getting close to the stage where we're able to, we'll be ready to start construction. And at this point, we really are just looking to obtain and secure the necessary funding in order to move ahead with construction.
Now, this isn't the only major work that's being done in Trent Hills. I understand there's some pretty basic road work being done on County Road 30, just west of Campbellford going north. Can you briefly tell us about what's taking place there?
Mm-hmm. So this is part of our pavement rehabilitation program. So there'll be some basically repaving of County Road 30 north between our 8th and 11th line. So this is just a section as you exit Campbellford and head towards the west and north, that we'd be pulverizing and repaving that section of road.
Now, road work is not the only thing taking place. There are a number of planning and design projects underway. Can you tell us about these?
Sure. So before we get to the construction stage, we do have a lot of work that's happening behind the scenes for planning and design to prepare for future year construction. And this year is no different. And so we have a number of EAs that were, again, just about to start environmental assessment process. One is for the section of County Road 45 between Roseneath and Fenella, also including a little piece of County Road 18. We also have a couple of ongoing environmental assessment and preliminary design work happening in the town of Coburg on Elgin Street, looking at widening of Elgin Street and at Brook Road and that intersection, as well as in the west end, looking at widening of Elgin Street from Rogers Road to Loveshin Road and starting the design portion for that. And there's also been the ongoing environmental assessment, which will continue for the Brook Road Rail grade separation crossing in the town of Coburg as well, which most of this work in the east end has been working very closely with the town of Coburg as well.
The work being done in the east end of Coburg, why is that such a high priority right now?
The roadwork that's been that we are working on, and again, looking at the grade separation, these are all projects that are identified through the development charge study as a result of the growth that's planned in the East End. And so that is how we're proceeding now with that planning stage in order to look at what the widening is, to look at any other infrastructure requirements, just like the grade separation. And this is all to accommodate that growth that is currently planned in that East End.
I also understand that there's a corridor and community studies and detailed design taking place in Grafton, Castleton, Hastings, and along County Road 2 between Rogers Road and Loveshin Road. Can you talk a bit about that and what's going to be taking place there?
So these are again identified in our capital program and driven originally by renewal of the assets that's required, the aging road infrastructure. And being in hamlet areas, it just requires a little bit more work to review and understand if any other additional upgrades need to be done from a safety perspective. So in 2026, we're proceeding with design in all of these locations, and in Grafton construction, we anticipate moving forward with construction. And ultimately we are looking at, again, replacing the asphalt and looking at pedestrian crossovers to improve some safety, pedestrian safety. And in Castleton and Hastings, we're also looking at work completing the design this year. There are some components of stormwater as well to address. So really looking at all components of the roadway and what needs to be done so that we can proceed to construction and not have to come back at another stage.
When people are going to hear about these kinds of projects, some people might be concerned about what's going on. Is there going to be any public engagement where people can ask questions, maybe have some input?
So on many of our environmental assessments, we do try to reach out to the public. We have different join-in pages on our website. For some of the smaller ones, we advertise the work that's being done and have contact information if the residents have any questions. Some of the ones where there's a little bit more involved, we do public information centers, and any of that information we communicate through all of our various media channels to the public.
A lot's going on. How much is this all going to cost?
Good question. So our 2026 capital budget, that's been approved through our budget process, is about $17.3 million. About half of that is levy funded, about $8.3 million. And then we have other portions that are based on our provincial funding allocations, federal funding allocations, and also development charge funding. In addition, some of the work that we're doing there this year is multi-year projects, as I mentioned, and work that's from previous years. So that work has also been funded through previous year's budgets that were approved. So, the work that's being done this year is in the tens of millions, but for the 2026 budget itself, it's $17.3 million.
Denise Marshall, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
That was Denise Marshall, Director of Public Works for Northumberland County.
I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at ConsiderThisNorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.